Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
The Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, has said that we shouldn't jail shoplifters and other non-violent offenders and should use community sanctions to ease prison overcrowding. He was speaking about this on The Tonight Show.
I think we need to ensure predominantly that if we have prison spaces, they should be used for people who are violent. I don't want to see our prisons clogged up with people who are in there for, crimes of shoplifting or people who have addiction issues. They shouldn't be in prison. But people who are violent and who are a threat to the Irish public need to be put in prison. One of the pieces of legislation I wish to advance and promote is community sanctions. I think there are people who are not violent who are in prison, and we need to look at alternative methods of trying to provide punishment for them. Community sanctions is one. I'm aware that in the women's prisons, there's a huge number of women who are in prison for shoplifting and they have serious addiction issues that obviously that needs to be addressed with the support of services.
Okay.
So I'm not committed to putting all people who are convicted of offences into prison, but I do believe violent people should be in prison.
Yeah, Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan speaking there. Shane Gleeson is with me on the line today because, Shane, you run five different spar shops right across Limerick City. Do you agree with the Justice Minister? Should we have community sanctions over prison service?
I'm quite alarmed to some extent by it. A lot of our shoplifting comes with a threat of violence, probably the majority of it. People are pushing, shoving, going at my staff. There's no real punishment currently because they're not getting prison. Or when they do get prison, they might go away for a day, 2 days, as we had last week with a lady up for 30-odd incidents, quite violent, hit and slapped my staff. She got 6 weeks in prison and served 1 day. So that's the net effect of what we're seeing on the street.
So that's probably the example of what we're talking about. That so a custodial sentence was handed down on conviction for 6 weeks and served
one. Yeah, she served 1 day. Now I appreciate that there isn't prison space there. We haven't built prisons in 30 years, I believe. And I know you can't shop or you can't put everybody in jail, but there has to be some kind of real penalty, some kind of a method of putting people off from this behaviour. And one of the suggestions we've been coming up with is perhaps that the fines that are attributed to them, that they could be taken at source from their social welfare. If there is actually a financial penalty, maybe that might dissuade some people from carrying out these crimes.
Would it though, Shane? Would it? Would it though? Would
I
it actually?
I don't know, but I think it's well worth a go. Doing nothing certainly is not working. We have staff quitting because they're fed up with the intimidation, the threats. It isn't always actual violence. A lot of it is threat. And when you're operating shops in the city centres, we're all experiencing that level of threat all the time. And it's not fair on people. You should be able to work in a friendly, normal environment and not be subject to threat. But at the moment, the shoplifting has hit epidemic proportions because people are not being punished for theft. So therefore, they're robbing more and more and more. And it's not just Ireland. We're seeing the same across the UK. I've seen TV programmes in the UK showing it. We're having identical experiences here. But there has to be some real punishment. I understand Jim's point of view that there isn't enough space in the prisons. But there has to be something else. Like giving people fines that they never pay or suspended sentences, which is just a let-off, is not working. And my staff are not safe as a result of that. So I'd be very dubious about the community sentencing or the value of it. I've never seen it working in my lifetime anyway.
Yeah, like if somebody, not in relation to the last case you mentioned, but I'm sure you've seen it time and time again. You've been here on this programme talking about your experience with shoplifters, Shane, previously. You know, if somebody is convicted of shoplifting on more than 10, even more than 20 occasions, and they're still persistent, they're still doing it. You know, like,
yeah,
you'd wonder,
points
how did you even...
They go to jail. If you're, like, that lady that was up on Friday had 30-odd charges on the same sitting, and still she served 1 day. That's not fair on me, it's not fair on my staff, not fair on my family. We need something that's there to dissuade people from this behaviour. Slapping them on the wrist, giving them a community order, or a fine they'll never pay is not working currently. We need something different. I think a financial penalty where it does come out of their pocket could have some effect. I think it's well worth the trial.
Will you stay with me, Shane, for a few moments? Because as you can imagine, quite a few people looking to join us about this today. Gillian is on the line. Gillian, you are a former prisoner yourself. I know you and I work with the National Advocacy Service for people using drugs or drug addiction here in Ireland. What do you think about this statement today or yesterday from the Justice Minister that we should have some form of community sanctions, community service for convicted shoplifters rather than making them serve a prison sentence?
I'd be advocating for it. You know, kind of, if you look at my, I'll give you a brief synopsis of my life. I had obviously committed criminality, shoplifting, and I got a 4-month sentence. I went into the Doka Centre. Prior to going into the Doka Centre, I was at home with my two children. My two children had to go into care, and then I had to go into Doka's. When I came out of the Doka's, I was homeless and my children remained in care. You know, we're looking at a cost analysis of to the system, you know, the cost of that, like we broke down the cost of that and the impact that that custodial sentence had on my children and my wider community. And I'm not trying to minimise, you know, the effect that this is having on the retail community or be undermining it in any way. But I think there's other, like as the previous speaker said, that she got 6 weeks and done one day. Why did she only do one day? Because the prisons are overrun. They're overrun with these, you know, it's like a revolving door. We have, you know, he's had 36 charges in one day. You know, where is it? There was a more health-led approach and a diversion program. You know, maybe you could kind of give them supports around the shoplifting, you know, kind of to address the issue rather than kind of like just punishing, because no one's learning that way. So I'd be in full support of it, and that's something that within the organisation we'd be advocating for, which would be a more health-led approach. You know, I don't believe that the drugs are the symptom, what's the cause? I think we need to address the cause and then, you know, kind of support these people and into not doing custodial sentence. I'd be of the opinion a custodial sentence should be the last resort.
But look, if somebody is up, and I'm not speaking in relation, I don't know the details of the case that Shane has mentioned, but there have been previous other examples, Gillian, of people who have been convicted, even in one day, of multiple counts of similar incidents. Like, at what point do we say these people have to serve time for the crime they've committed?
But they have been serving crime and the issue has not been addressed because it's just been punished rather than addressing the issue. Whereas if we do come into service or a rediversion programme, you know, you might be able to help them address the issues of the shoplifting.
But sure, we've rehabilitation in prisons.
There isn't, though. There isn't. At the moment, there isn't. It's very limited in the prison system at the moment. To try and access, because the prison system is so overrun at the moment, to access recovery within the prison system is very hard. I'm on a with MQI and around doing the TARP, which is a recovery programme within the prison to set it up at the moment. So there isn't. There is services, but they're limited due to the fact that the prison is exasperated. The male and the female prisons are exasperated at the moment. You know, so that if you were in prison and you wished to get recovery, you know, it's a hard process. It's a really, really long and drawn out process because the money is put into punishing rather than supporting, you know.
What exactly in your mind should community service look like, Gillian? Do we have much of that in Ireland?
I think we need to meet people where they're at. You know, I think the addiction is the symptom. What's the cause? We need to be addressing the cause. It's now been recognised that addiction is a 90% trauma response. We have the most marginalised, traumatised members of our community out committing crimes, going in and out of prison like it's a revolving door. No support, no treatment. You know, the issue is not being addressed. It's kind of like it's punishment. And then they become institutionalised where it actually, they look forward to kind of going into prison because it's a break for them. We need to be addressing the problems. And what are the problems? It's the system. The system fails people that use drugs, you know, and punishing them. And I'd be of the opinion no one should be punished for using drugs. I take on board, you know, the impact it's having on the retail community and things like that. And I can understand the frustrations. But like, these are human beings that have been traumatised, like, you know, punished, you know,
so is Shane and his staff as well, you know, like I take your point around addiction, but I mean, in my opinion, there comes a point in which you carry out, when you're into 30 and 40 and 50 convictions and people have been convicted at multiple points about the one particular type of incident in any one given day. Like, I don't know that going out and telling somebody to cut the grass or plant trees in community service is going to solve that. I just can't see it.
No, because it's a broader issue. We need to be addressing the broader issues, which is, like, you know, they have no, there is no support out there for them. It's punishment, 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 rather than support. We need to be supporting these people and try and redirect them into, you know, back into the community. Because at the end of the day, these men and women that are going and doing these sentences, it's their children that are dealing with the impact of this.
Let me just bring in Patrick, just Gillian, for a moment, Patrick, because you, I believe you worked formerly as a prison officer. Is that right, Patrick?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your take on this? Like, if the prisons are full, right? We obviously haven't built enough of them. We've more, whether it's that we have more crime or we're convicting people for carrying out these crimes. We've prisons now that are so full. We're now looking at letting people who are convicted of crimes maybe carry out some kind of community sanction. Is that the right way?
No, it isn't. Because then you're saying to people, oh yeah, go out and shoplift, go out and do damage to people, you know, don't obey the driving laws, blah, blah, blah. The thing about addiction is, and let's talk about the elephant in the room here, it is self-inflicted. Addiction is self-inflicted. Okay? Now, that lady there who was talking about what happened with her and her kids, awful. But should she not have thought first what might happen to her kids? And what might happen to where she was staying? You know, I get this thing where people say, oh, people are traumatized. You made a good point. What about, not one person mentioned the actual people who are attacked, victimized, threatened. Not once has anybody said anything about them. These people come into prison. They're looked after. They're educated. They get the best care.
But I suppose Gillian's point, though, is if you've only, you know, if you've served a very short sentence and given the level of overcrowding, that wouldn't necessarily happen at that time. But do you have any idea how community service works, Patrick?
Well, community service, it can basically be this area needs cleaning up, this group of houses.
Is that what it is? I wasn't sure about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is, it is. Okay.
I'm sorry, but anybody who has a number of convictions like that, when they come in to the court, the judge looks at it and he gives them a custodial sentence because he has no other choice. Who has the right to go in and thieve or attack a person or commit a serious crime or even a minor crime? No,
he did talk about non-violent offenders. So, but I mean, I don't know, like you heard Shane talk about the fact that in his case, yes, there's a level of shoplifting, but so too, some of those incidents can be quite violent. John Lonergan is on the line. John, of course, former Mountjoy governor. Do you think we need community service over time in prison, John?
Yeah, we certainly do. And we have, by the way, last in 2023, about 1,600 people served community orders under the supervision and direction of the Irish Probation Service. So, yeah, it is there and not developed enough by no means. Because
just explain how that works, John, will you, if the 1,600...
The way it works is that when the court decides, there's an assessment done by a probation officer first in relation to the individual person who is charged, and the judge in the court decides then whether that person, usually the report is positive, so the probation service are happy to take the person under their supervision, and then they have people there to provide, again, not by no means developed to its potential, but so they're assigned, 240 hours a week is the maximum, 240 hours as a term is the longest that a person can be sentenced to community service. So you can have up to 240 hours or less than that. And it depends. I personally would see potential in widening that out and his work at the moment, which means that it's mainly physical work. But it shouldn't necessarily be just work because, for instance, counselling, drug treatment, education, work training, all those sort of initiatives should be there as well because many of the people who...
So 240 hours.
And certainly be deficient on all fronts.
Would you typically tend to do... If I was convicted today of whatever the crime and handed down a sentence of 240 community hours, do you is it a 7 days a week? Is it 7 hours a day?
How does
it
work? That depends on the particular project that the person is assigned to and the supervisors and supervision that's available by the probation service. So it's flexible in terms of the number of hours. The number of hours is decided by the court, and then the rest of it is down to the delivery of it under supervision.
But the max is a month, is it, John, at the moment?
Is, and this is what some of your listeners are raising, is if people don't do it, and that often happens, that the person who is allocated the community service fails to carry it out. And therefore, there has to be a final sanction. And I'm afraid prison is the only final sanction at the moment if a person doesn't carry it
but
out.
But did you not say, John, sorry, just one moment, sorry, just to go back and say, but did you not say that the people that are handed down the conviction of 240 at its most, at its maximum for community service, did you not say that, though, that they're monitored by the probation service?
Oh, yes. Yeah, but supposing there's an agreement that you do 10 hours a week for a number of weeks, 20 weeks or whatever it is, and the person doesn't turn up. What happens then is the supervisor of the delivery of the service will report to the probation service, who will report back to the court that the person involved hasn't carried out the function of the order that was made, and then the courts have to re...
There's more messing in the courts, John, isn't it? So, you know what I mean? The administrative function of it.
Andrew, I think it's very important, though, to, in fairness to the minister, he mentioned yesterday shoplifting on its own.
He did, and non-violent.
Shoplifting with violence. They're completely different charges, and they should be charges where there's an element of violence incorporated into the charge and ultimately the conviction. There's a massive difference between passive shoplifting, even though that's completely wrong, and I can understand business people, but when there's aggression and violence and threats, That's a different charge, and it should be a different charge.
So just somebody who goes in and steals a few bits and there's no fighting or there's no stabbing or there's no shouting or no aggression, that's what he's talking about, basically.
That's what I'm interpreting, non-violent. The shop owner in Limerick is talking about people who are blackmailing, threatening, physically assaulting people. That is violence. Well, and again, I totally agree with all your listeners that any elements of violence should be treated separately, and we should have no tolerance for violence.
Well, just on that, John, it's a fair point and worth clarifying. Paul Gallagher with us. Paul is the co-owner of course, a lot of Skechers stores around the country. A lot of people know the ASIC store too on Henry Street in Dublin. Paul, if I go in and lift a pair of ASICs out of the shop today, and I say nothing, I cause no aggression in the store at all, threaten nobody, should I just get community service for that?
No, you shouldn't, Andrea, because light sentencing will promote violence and serious crime, and that's the starting point, right? Does our staff have a right to work in safety? And right now, there's no consequences. There's a revolving door. You've Gardaí frustration, and they'll openly admit it, not on the record. But there's not enough Gardaí presence, and even when there is, the sentences are way too light. And it's not all about drugs. These people here are all hiding behind drugs. It's not all about drugs, right? There's a survey in the Law Society of Ireland done last October. 89% of these crimes have become more dangerous in the past year. Robbery with violence is in 30% of the crimes, you know, and gangs are in 50% of the crimes. So people are coming in. They are getting cheekier. They're getting more aggressive. They're getting more violent. Because there is absolutely no deterrent. It's like a carte blanche. Tap in the head there, go rob what you like. You can beat them up the next time. You can, you know, get more violent. You can get more aggressive. This system is broken. And the civil servants that are running the system behind the scenes are the same civil servants that have got us into the mess and have been there for the last 20, 30 years. The minister needs to wake up and smell the coffee and start doing his job.
So the point that Shane mentioned was Shane Gleeson made the point a little earlier that he felt there should be some kind of social welfare implication if people are in receipt of the dole or social welfare payments. Do you agree with that?
I'd agree with that. But I mean, there was in last year alone, there was 75,000 approximately thefts from retail stores. That's over 200 per day. So if you're financially hitting them in the pocket, you might actually say, get them to wake up and understand that there is consequences. Like, it's not all about drugs. This is like a very small minority of the population that are being left run free with no consequences. And there's also a huge increase in the juvenile system being overrun because there's little or practically no consequences for under 16-year-olds, and they've been asked to go in and rob on behalf of the older people.
Gillian, just on that, do you want to make a point around social welfare and should people's... Well, should their dole money or their social welfare payments be hit if they're carrying out multiple crimes?
It's a complicated issue, and I'm kind of listening to your previous thing. We're talking about shoplifting, non-violent crimes, you know, and people are going in and out. It's like a revolving door at the moment. So nothing is working at the moment. Like John Lonigan was saying, the community service approach, you know, and you were kind of saying, oh, it's a lot of messing. You know, but if we look at a cost analysis to the system as to put these people into prison for those 4 or 5 months or 2 or 3 days, it's astronomical. Whereas it was rediverted and supports put in place so that to help them not reoffend and address the issues and the underlying causes, you know, and then maybe, you know, the gang-related violence or other intimidation or, you know, violence itself can be addressed within the prison system.
Listener here makes the point, if you take money out of people's social security as a fine, they'll only shoplift even more. And listening to Shane Gleeson, he's right, a good percentage of shoplifting offenders, they are violent. It is violent crime. Another texter, shoplifting, there's a huge issue with legally underage children. It's absolutely without consequence. There may be an element of parents perhaps getting them to do this, I don't know, says this texter. Make parents legally responsible for their children when they break the law. A lot of people, as you can probably imagine, getting in touch about this. We might come back to it. It's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. That's John Lonergan, Paul Gallagher, Patrick Gillian as well, and Shane Gleeson. Thanks a million for your time on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.